This is the Next Level Running Podcast, brought to you by the expert coaches at Rundoyan, helping runners of all levels crush their goals on race day by matching you with the perfect coach or training plan. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Next Level Running Podcast. I'm your host, Jacob Phillips, and we've got a timely conversation for you this month. I sit down with Rundoyan expert coach Patrick Cunniff, and we talk about summer training. We talk about how to beat the heat. We talk about how to beat the humidity. Look, you've got goals that you want to crush, and we can't let the summer stop it. Coach Cunniff gives great advice, smart, practical advice on how to have your best summer of running. I think it's a great listen, and I hope you'll enjoy it. I'll come back after the conversation. We'll talk about some show notes, some things we've got going on. But now, on to the conversation with Rundoyan expert coach, Patrick Cunniff.
All right. How are you doing?
Man, I'm good. You know, so, you know, tonight we're going to talk, you know, summer training, how to beat the heat, how to beat the humidity, how to beat summer travel, that kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm a college coach as well. And, you know, I feel like every year we get back from our conference championships and it's like, man, it's hot. And it hadn't even really even started yet. I mean, it's fixing to build up. The temps are gonna rise, the humidity is gonna be high. Man, it's gonna be hot. And so, but I thought we'd just start with a general intro, you know, where you're from, your coaching journey, all that kind of good stuff, and then maybe hop into the topic.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Where are you coaching right now?
So I'm at Dallas Baptist University. I'm in Dallas, Texas. Been in the Metroplex for about 20 years. So it's fixing to get hot here.
It is very hot. I think I spent one super hot summer in Austin and then two in Fort Worth. And the one when I left Fort Worth, I think the day I drove out, it was 106. And I showed up at Long Beach and it was 85 and they thought it was the worst heat wave they had ever seen.
Yeah. So, It's tough down here, man. It's tough. And so where are you at now?
I am in Athens, Georgia. You can actually see that over my back shoulder with my screen there. And, you know, interestingly enough, most of my life before coaching, was well north of the Mason-Dixon line and mostly very cold places. I grew up in New England.
Oh, wow.
And after going to school in Georgia, ended up out in Montana and spent some time in both Yellowstone National Park and Bozeman, Montana, and dealt with negative 10 more than 110.
Yeah.
But then once I got into coaching, my stops were University of Texas, Austin as a volunteer.
Yeah.
And then TCU.
Yep. Okay.
And then Long Beach, California.
Okay.
Which, again, the nicest weather, but interestingly enough, through just pure stupidity, I ended up doing some of our hottest runs because in Long Beach, by the coast, especially in June and July, you have an effect called June gloom. Comes off the Pacific and it's overcast a lot and everything and it's perfectly beautiful, but it's so easy to forget that 10 miles inland it's 105.
Oh wow.
And so many times my wife and I would wake up, get up a little bit late and be like, oh, let's go run trails. But the trails would be, you know, and we'd be like, we're cold almost. And we'd get to Fullerton or Orange County and it'd be 105.
Wow.
And then, you know, to come back to Georgia, you know, honestly, not nearly as bad as Austin and Fort Worth, and especially in the summer and especially with the humidity. But, you know, Georgia has a lot of those challenges too, especially for the kids that are doing their summer training or you know, certainly adults who are working on a fall marathon, and summer is going to be their most critical training period. You know, I think hopefully our experience of what I've seen and certainly probably what you've seen as well can really lead to some quality advice.
No, and I think, like, when you're talking the kids with their summer training for high school or college, cross country, like that's my favorite time of the year. But my personally, I remember getting ready for, I think it was the 2012 Chicago Marathon, and the bulk of that, July and August were two really important months. And it was miserable. And I'm sure we'll dive into this, but like trying to do these longer runs, I was, whenever I was training for the marathon, I would do anything from 18 to 24, kind of depending on the weekend. And then you have these longer tempo runs. I mean, it's brutal and it's almost impossible. And you might remember from your days in the Metroplex that there was either, like, it was either called Too Hot to Handle or Hot as Half that they had in Dallas. And I was going to do that as a workout for Chicago Marathon. And I get to about 10 miles and the wheels just completely come off. And you leave and you're in despair. And then I get to Chicago in October and it's 36 degrees, and so, but you just got to make it through that summer. But so obviously some of your stops, when you're talking, I mean, Austin's miserable in the summer. That humidity's high. That it's also hot. The Metroplex being in Fort Worth and Dallas, it's not as humid, but it's still pretty hot. How in the world, and I just gave you my Chicago Marathon example, how in the world do you train at a high level and with consistency in the summer when you've got the high temps, when you've got the high humidity, and you can't avoid it?
Well, I think it's, a lot of the same concepts that apply to almost anything in running, and especially when we talk about adult running. It's being smart, it's being proactive, and then it's being reasonable and knowing some days aren't going to go your way. I think let's take your experience and then, piggyback some anecdotes on that to just point out the good and bad. And it's kind of becoming a little bit of a cliche now in the running community, but the idea that humidity is poor man's altitude, and there really is that training effect. And again, we can circle back to that a little bit more, but heat, humidity, any of those things ultimately are a training stimulus. And I think we'll all do better if we approach it that way. We think, hey, this is one more thing, yes, to work against, but also work with. And
I love that. I love that.
if you set that mentality, I think it does great, or just helps you get through it a little bit more. Nobody's training for a marathon without, their own consent to be somewhat miserable. So this is one more way to be miserable and prepare you for that misery. But again, similar, and I don't know exactly how Chicago went, but when we were in Austin, we had a couple of workouts, and one was a stepping stone on Town Lake, where we would try to get faster each mile. And we would start that right from the beginning of the season. And the August one was awful. The one at the end of August was awful. By the middle of September, they wanted to give up. But then when that weather broke, and it was almost always right around October 1st, again, coming from a Montana background where it breaks you because winter doesn't end in April. Texas breaks you because summer doesn't end in September, much less August.
Yep.
But we catch that first cool day, and all of a sudden kids were like 10 times fitter than they thought they were.
Yep.
I think anybody training in the heat has to just remember, your heart rate's not going to be good. Probably your times aren't going to be good. Certainly the how you feel factor isn't going to be as good, and you can't let that discourage you.
Yeah, no doubt. So back to Chicago, I ended up dropping out of that Chicago Marathon, but so it wasn't, I have nothing to show for it. But you said something there with the viewing it as a training stimulus, and, like, man, I've thought of that, but I forget it so often. I mean, we literally get into the summer and it's like, okay, how are we going to survive this? And I love that, right? Like, that's a mental cue that we can give to our runners where we can say, Hey, look, like it, like you said, the heart rate's going to be kind of, off. The pace is going to be off. Your feel's going to be off, but this is going to make you better. And there's a transition phase. I honestly think when you talked about the long workout on Town Lake in Austin, like, I think like that first one's probably the worst. And then they just kind of, they slowly get better until the weather breaks. And then you're like, well, I'm actually pretty fit. And so when we talk about, you gave these, you said being smart, being proactive, being reasonable. And so like, let's attack that. So let's attack and maybe the being smart and being proactive are working together here, but are you, for your runners that are in the summer dealing with this, it's going to be hard once you get into June, July, August, et cetera. Are you slowing down the pace? Or are you saying we're going to look at heart rate, or we're going to find every, like, how are you being smart with that? How are you being proactive with that?
And I think, first to circle back to, the proactive part, it's really kind of making a commitment to, look at essentially the weather, for your week. And depending where you are, if you're in Texas, it's probably going to be hot, hot and hot. But if you're in New York or Delaware, or even California, even Saturday, Sunday, there may be a significant difference. And if you can, take the one that's a little bit better. Typical in the hot weather places is as early as you can in the morning. And then from there, again, if you can't, can you go after dark? So you're not getting the direct, radiant sunlight and all that. Obviously, we want to be super smart about if it's a long run or a hard workout, do we have fluid available? Even, if we can't go early in the morning or we can't go in the dark, literally, can we find a track that's shaded? Can we find a path that's shaded? I don't love putting people on cement, but from a heat perspective, cement's better than blacktop. There's a lot of steps. So often, so many runners want to be all or nothing on so many parts of, in some, it's like, it's hot, I can't do it. Or can it be, how can we get the most out of it?
No
How
doubt.
do we modify? And then to your point, I think we do slow down paces. I think we do slow down a little bit expectation. I think we use heart rate, but vice versa, we take a little bit of by feel away, or we set a lower expectation of by feel.
And that would be the be reasonable, right?
We say, hey, this, even if you're having a great day, it's probably not going to feel good. Or it's not gonna, or it may feel good, but your time's not quite as good. And just let yourself off the hook as long as you know the general effort is in the ballpark of what we're trying to achieve. And again, with that light at the end of the tunnel, when you come out of this weather pattern, you'll be surprised at how your fitness is. And as any coaching situation, you're asking for a little bit of trust there.
And I think as coaches, we it's part of, kind of on our job to reassure. So I have an athlete that I've been coaching since college, and he struggles in the summer, and it's every summer it's the same thing. It's like, and he's mature about it, and I'm sitting there saying like, hey, we know this is what's going to happen, just wait. And then he goes, he has a great winter. He has, he ran great in the marathon in Dallas. He ran great in the marathon in the Woodlands. And then we get to this time. It's like, it's survival, right? And you're going to be consistent, but this idea, this cut down tempo, we're not doing that. We're just going to try to find that effort. But I love what you said. Like, a lot of times we're all or nothing, but we have to be reasonable with that, right? And then, you know, and it's the same thing with like setting a maybe a lower expectation of how we're going to feel. That's called being reasonable, you know? And so I love what you said about that. I also love the practicality of, you said a shaded track or a shaded trail. I was talking with Coach Jim Bevins down at Rice last year about this same thing. Like, man, it's hot, it's humid. They practice in the afternoons for cross country. And I said, how in the world are you doing that? And he said, we have so much shade. And he was like, he's like, all of our like locations we run are covered in shade. And he's like, it makes such a huge difference that you don't even, it doesn't feel that much worse than running at 6:30 a.m. Right.
And so I was just saying, vice versa, Houston is so humid.
Yes.
That they're not much cooler overnight.
Yes. Yes.
You know, so again, you need to know your situation, your circumstance.
Yep.
And do the smartest things. And again, to that concept of, you know, when I was a student at Georgia, we remember plain as day, we had Coach Mitchell come in and he had worked with Coach Timmons, who was Jim Ryan's coach. Mm-hmm. And you've seen any of those training logs, like this, you know, it was
hard work,
not only the fittest, but I guess just the luckiest. And, you know, when he started for 2 weeks, we had a home meet and he said, you know, we would start working out after, and he would build it up of, you know, don't run too hard in the meet because Monday is going to kill you. And he brought us out to the golf course at the end of August and, you know, in Georgia, and we did 8 times a mile.
Wow.
And man, it felt like it killed us, but we're all still alive. And you know, you look at the extremes of what people can do, you know, just know that within reason, you can do work. You know, we at Georgia, and when I was at Texas and at TCU, we went largely in the morning, mainly because that gave us the most access to facilities.
Yeah, you
could get on a golf course, or the Trinity trails weren't too busy, or you know, even Town Lake, you know. But every year I would be recruiting and talking to high school kids that, like you say, they just, you know, they weren't allowed to come in before school, and so they went in the afternoon, and again, their volume wasn't as high, and you know, maybe they didn't have as many time expectations. Workout was more about effort.
Yep.
And hopefully, fingers crossed, they stayed close to water. And yeah, they didn't go full Junction Boy on it. But again, they survived. They got better. And by the time the state meet came, the weather had abated largely.
Yeah.
And they were ready for great performances.
Yeah, they're rolling. So I have a question, and this is maybe it's not off topic. I don't remember. I was the same way in high school. We practiced in the afternoons. In college, we actually practiced like all of our harder sessions were in the afternoon, and so it was miserable. We'd do some easy runs in the morning, but I don't remember it being like now. I complain. Like I walk out the door, you know, it's 6:30. I'm like, it's already 80 degrees. I don't remember it in high school being that bad. College, I got a story about college in a little bit, but like, do you think it's something we notice a little bit more as we get older?
I think in a college setting and a high performance setting, you're so aware that you can do better in another circumstance.
Yeah.
You know, and we could get really lost in the weeds and talk about how high performance has gotten so high performance that in some ways it's derailed consistent performance, and it may have even derailed competitive performance. But I think when it comes to heat, you know, again, I think we're so aware that if it was 10 degrees cooler, we could be doing X.
Yeah.
And again, anything that you get used to on the positive side in some ways does soften you up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, my wife and I talk, you know, about moving back to Montana, and we think about the summers and, you know, going hiking and everything, but as soon as we pull up the app and we look at what's the temperature in Bozeman, and we're like, we're staying in Athens.
Yeah, it's gonna be
And
freezing.
so that same thing happens with heat. Like you said, I mean, us at Georgia, when I was here as a student, we thought nothing of, and again, it was miserable, I'm sure. But to your same, I don't remember specifically complaining about it. And
Yeah.
it was almost like the bar of hot was so high that like 85 was awesome.
No doubt. Well, yeah,
And vice versa,
I
a few years we were consistently hot and we really adapted to that. Whereas my last few years, we caught a few really lucky years. We went for our first long run and it was only 60 or 65. And we would catch the first real humid day, which should have been the normal day, and it would crush us.
Crush you.
And so it is all both your mindset, but literally what your body adapts to.
Yeah, I think so. I agree. You do hard things, you get used to hard things. So going back to the being smart, being proactive with the training. And so like a lot of clients that we get at Rundoy, and they're wanting to either complete or run a faster half marathon or marathon. And I've got clients that are running half marathons in July and August, and you have to prepare for them, right? That race day is coming. You've got to prepare. So do you look at shortening the sessions, and we're talking quality days here, or you look at breaking them up? So like maybe instead of doing a, I'm just making this up, say an 8 mile, tempo run, that you would do at say marathon pace or whatever. Would you do that in 8 by a mile or 8 by 2 mile or 4 by 2 miles versus the continuous 8 in the summer? Like how would you make
I
those
really
adjustments?
do. I do like breaking it up.
Okay.
And I think a lot of adult clients maybe haven't seen that. Maybe their background is all continuous runs, or a certain person thinks either breaks or walks are somehow negating the whole run. But I really do like breaking it up. Not only does it give you the chance to get some fluid, but it gives you a chance to do an honest evaluation. And it gives you a chance to know, maybe take that time to say, do I need to adjust? Do I need to, hey, I'm going to have to back off pace. Or, like you say, use your 8 mile example. If it's written as 8 straight, there's not really a chance to get out of that. But if it's 4 times 2, you're already in a good spot where you can switch to 8 by 1, or you can do 2 times 2 and then go 4 by 1. Still get it all done, but adjust, and that may be where you want to look at your heart rate. And again, know that it might be on a different scale, but I think that does help. I think with long run, there really is that sense, maybe you start to look at time on your feet versus forcing yourself to hit a mileage. And again, I think in the worst or the hottest circumstance, I've even suggested to clients, split it up. Do one and more, you're still going to get that same amount for the day. And when the worst circumstances are over, we can come back and we will have gotten not the same fitness, not the specific both mental and physical challenge of going for 2 hours, but we'll still have gotten 2 hours in.
Yeah, for sure. And I think when you're talking about the so I spent a summer in Houston probably 12 years ago, and the one of the best masters runners in the world was down there training. He had a group that, and they would do their long run, every Sunday. And I would look at it on like it was Strava didn't exist back then, but like he had a blog, and I'd be like, golly, they're cruising, So one day I bump into him at a running store, and he says, oh no, he's like, every 2 miles we stop and take fluids. And he's like, that's the only way we can have our quality long runs. And this is a guy at the age of 50, he broke I think 15 at the age of 50, yep. You know, in the 5K. And but every 2 miles, they were stopping. They were taking water or Gatorade, and then it would get back into that rhythm. And that's how he survived the summer. And so, like, and if it worked for this guy, you know, yep. I mean, I think he qualified for Olympic trials in his 40s in the marathon, right? And so if it worked for this guy, I mean, it definitely can work for you. It's not being weak. It's not negating the benefit. It's being smart, right? And it's actually planning ahead and making sure you can actually have that good run, because ultimately we want a good run, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And I think, you know, that's a perfect example of someone who's in an environment, adapted to it, found the best way to make it work. And like you said, that's a high performance person,
mm-hmm.
not just looking to check off a box or
yep.
get a chore done. He's really looking at, you know, how do I make this work? And I think each person, either hopefully through a coach, we can take a lot of that pressure off of people.
Yep.
You know, we can help them come up with that way, or, you know, through your own investment, you can come up with those ways. And again, that challenge is, how do you set your mentality, but also how much do you hold yourself accountable to best effort, not necessarily best performance every single time.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think, like, you know, to plug Run Doyne a little bit, I think that's the beauty of having that coach, right? When we go back to my, you know, my 8 mile example, you know, we're probably saying, hey, look, like, if the weather's good, we know where you're at. We know kind of, we know your background. We're working with you week to week, you know, day to day almost with the Final Surge app. Right. And it's like, okay, look, like, the weather's not great. Let's change that to this. And then at halfway, figure out if this is what we need. We take that pressure off, right? Yeah. We're able to walk. And I also think, like, coming back and saying, oh, wow, like, that was an awesome effort. I mean, like, look at the humidity, look at the temperature, and then look what you did. Like being able to reassure them, man, this is good work. And this is going to pay off when you get to Chicago in October or Detroit in October, whatever you're training for, right? Indian, you know, the fall is so busy with marathons that the summer is so important. And that's why I'm glad we're doing this in May, because outside of where I'm from, most of the country hasn't hit that miserable summer yet. And so maybe this is some
they're
practical.
In their nicest
yeah.
spot. I've been waiting for it almost, you know, to the point I said some of our cross countries, but same thing, a little bit, our spring
mm-hmm.
has been pretty good. And I went out this Sunday and I caught my first humid day. And it was like, oh man,
it's here.
This is different. It's gonna take an adjustment.
Yeah.
And, you know, ooh, I wish I had gotten out an hour earlier, you know, one cup of coffee quicker.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like you say, and I think, again, if you can think ahead,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, there is a time you don't want to cram or rush, but, you know, if you've got some good weather, May and June, put a little in the bank, and then, you know, maybe back off July, and, you know, again, hopefully you're in a spot where it breaks at the end of August, but if not, you know, so many October marathons, maybe mm-hmm. those first couple weeks of September can really be your finishing part, or those people that are on kind of that November, December scale. I know there's a lot of Boston qualifiers kind of in that range.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, make sure you've kept the consistency in July and August, but you're going to have September and October to really get some work done, and trust that if you're healthy and have a good base fitness, it doesn't have to be super specific.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that it'll pay off.
I agree with that. And we see that all the time with CIM, you know, New York City, you know, the different ones. We see that all the time. You just have to be consistent this summer. You don't have to be great. You just got to be consistent, you know, and then once that temperature breaks, you will start rolling in the fall and you'll feel super good. So I got a quick story. So like I said earlier, you know, and this is going to lead me to maybe my next topic. And maybe this is kind of a common sense one, but when I was in college, we did all of our hard days in cross August, September. We did those hard days in the afternoon. So we met at 3:30 and practice generally take an hour and a half to 2 hours. And it would be so, I mean, like literally we had a running joke of like, who's going to die today. You know, I mean, like it was hot. And Man, so one, I'm depleted from a hard session, mile repeats or a tempo run in the heat of the day. And we were usually like getting baked with the sun. There was no shade. And then, so you're depleted, it's hot. And then I'm trying to get to the cafeteria. You know, cafeteria closes at like 6:30 and I just can't eat. I'm so hot and it's just miserable. And so now I'm in this process of I'm not getting that recovery in that, you know, I'm not getting that fueling in. And so like what recommendations, maybe even for 20-year-old me back in the day, right? Like what recommendations would you have for either pre-run or post-run with hydration and maybe even nutrition in the summer? Because like it is like it's hard to go out and run 2 hours in the heat and then come in and recover, right? Or refuel, right? So any kind of common sense or practical ways to do that?
You know, it really is, you know, and I think that's a huge part. I'm glad you brought us there because I think training in the heat, it is as much about recovery as you know, how well you recover after is going to set you up for the next one.
Yep.
So much, you know, and that is one huge way you can mitigate. And I think so many times we worry about controlling literally the temperature of when we run or, you know, again, shade. So, you know, I think you have to find the drink that you can drink.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, whether that is, hey, some people are really good about sports drinks and they can handle it. You know, other people, maybe they need to have a watered down sports drink.
Yep.
So again, talking about stupid 20-year-olds, but a lot of times we would go and, you know, I think we would drink water after, but then we would hit the pizza buffet.
Yeah.
And CT. That, you know, in a weird way, a nutritionist could come, you know, reverse engineer and be like, in some ways, that's great.
Yeah.
The sweet tea has so many calories that you need, and it's getting a lot of water in there on top. The pizza is salty food and it's carbohydrates, and then the toppings are giving you some protein.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, you know, we're not necessarily sending all our clients to the pizza buffet, but you know, I think that first step has got to be hydration with some calories and preferably with electrolytes.
Yes.
And then I think with that, you want to get yourself cooled in some way.
Yeah.
You know, now most of the research says we want to stay away from the ice bath after a hard run.
Yep.
In order to get the maximum adaptation.
Yep.
I don't think we've necessarily eliminated the jumping in the ice bath for a minute or two to lower our core temperature.
Yeah.
But we want to be very careful of a shock effect.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think we'll do a lot better, you know, again, if any one of our athletes, you know, if, you know, we can get in a pool that's a little bit cooler. Mm-hmm. You know, in Texas, you got to be careful that your pool's not hotter than the outside.
Yep.
But, you know, but if we can get and go to a cool shower and maybe ultimately a cold shower to really start the cooling process.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's going to help eliminate that nausea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a real, real thing.
No doubt. No doubt.
And
I lived it.
Look at again. Can we introduce something that's a little bit salty that's going to make us even thirstier and encourage that drinking? And then, you know, do we have a means of getting in some simple carbohydrates and some simple protein that's easy to digest?
Yeah.
To get that process going. And it may be an hour and a half or 2 hours before we're ready to have the full meal.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'd really, I think, like in that first window to get that rehydration going and to have that, involve calories as well, not just water. Obviously the worst possible condition is a hypotonia, where, runners, they always want to overdo everything. So they think it's hot. There's going to be a runner out there that tries to drink the most water. And, if that's their only thing, you really can lead to a lot of trouble. So,
And I think that goes back to your being reasonable, right? Like, you don't want to just flush out all your electrolytes. You want to be reasonable. Reasonable, moderation, right? You want moderation, but you want to make sure you're taking care of it. So real quick, and I think maybe the last thing about just when we're talking heat and humidity, and it doesn't have to be too long on this, but when we're talking about summer racing, right? We've talked about recovery, we've talked about training, we've talked about, practical stuff, but man, you're running a 5K, 10K, or you're running a half or a full in the summer. Obviously, you're probably making similar adjustments that we've talked about with the being smart, the being proactive, being reasonable. But let's talk about the warm up, right? Are you changing the way that you would warm up for these races because it is a hotter temperature and it's not cold? Your muscles aren't completely stiff and cold. And so, like, what would you encourage for, say, warm ups for either 5K, 10K, and then on the other hand, half marathon, marathon?
I would say unequivocally for the longer races, a shorter warm up. And I would say, I think being a little bit stripped down already. I think so many of us go through a routine of, keeping your sweats on and, you're kind of stripping down as you get to the line. But, now I think when you're warming up, you can already be, a little underdressed. And I think, as you go through your warm up, where under cooler conditions, maybe it has a sequence and you're kind of rolling through it and you're only getting a drink before you put on your racing shoes. In the summer warm up, you want to be sipping all the way through. And again, probably electrolyte more than just water. I had an athlete running the 5K at Austin. We went from a normal 2 mile that tended to stretch long because you like to go a little bit to warm up, and we cut it to 10. And we made sure that it was a little bit slower effort wise, so it didn't spike. We were using a cold towel, all through. We didn't go all the way to the ice vest because we were worried about how that kind of might trigger a little bit mentally. But I mean, we were literally pulling a towel out of the cooler and doing a full body wipe. You want to make adjustments that they keep that core temperature from getting too high, but still preparing the muscles to be ready.
And I think that's smart. Again, I think all this comes down to what you were talking about with it's being smart, it's being proactive, and it's being reasonable. The summer is so tough. It's hard to hit the same pace every day. It's hard to feel as good as you feel when that first cool weather, cold front comes through. Like, it's really hard. So you've just got to be reasonable, proactive, and smart. Patrick, I appreciate the conversation, man. I think, like, we could probably do a part two on
Absolutely.
just getting into it. I mean, like, I was thinking of stories about, I had a kid one time that said, "I'm gonna go long sleeves, I'm gonna go long pants, I'm gonna run in the heat, hottest part of the day because I want to be mentally tough." And I'm like, "That's dangerous. You can't do that." I'm sure there's a ton of stories that you've gotten in your time, but I really appreciate you coming in tonight. I'm gonna make sure that your contact info on for Run Doyen is in our show notes, so that people
Definitely.
can connect with you. But yeah, anything else, man? But I mean, this was great. I
Yeah,
really appreciated this.
I've seen the entire range of it, people going out, and I mean, I was there when Emma Coburn sent the American record, and I think it was 120 on the track in Sacramento. And unfortunately, I've had a kid pass out at practice. So you have to be smart, you have to respect it, but also, there's ways to get things done and keep moving towards your goals.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Hey, I appreciate it. Have a great night. Thanks so much.
Yeah, look forward to talking to you again.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us again this month on the Next Level Running Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. But before you go, I wanted to point you to the show notes below. Look, we've got a link to the @RunDoyen Instagram page there. We'd love for you to follow us there. Every month, we do an Instagram Live with one of our expert coaches. And so you'll be notified when that's happening. You can join in real time, ask questions, leave comments, just be part of that conversation as it's happening. I also have a link to the Next Level Running Facebook group. That's a great community where you can follow along with other running related topics, ask questions, seek advice. It's just a great community to be part of. And finally, I have the contact info for our guest tonight, Coach Patrick Cunniff. If you want to connect with a coach that can help get you to your goals and crush those goals, Coach Cunniff, he's got the experience to do that. So his contact info is below. And finally, if you haven't done so, please go to your podcast platform of choice and give this podcast a rating. We want to have a great show for you each month where you're getting great advice, hearing from expert coaches. Yeah, so if you could do that, we'd greatly appreciate it. Join us next month. We'll be back on the 13th of June with our next Instagram Live replay, and then we'll be back on June 26th with our next episode of the Next Level Running Podcast. But hey, I appreciate you joining us tonight. Hope you got some great advice for how to beat the heat and humidity. And until next time, have a great run. Thank you for joining us here on the Next Level Running Podcast, your source for training advice from the expert coaches at RunDoyen. If you're ready to take your training and racing to the next level, head over to RunDoyen.com and get matched to your ideal coach who will provide you with the highly customized online training you need for crushing your goals on race day.